Joined now by Mr. Pete Gilbert, looking dapper straight from television, and also one of the more charismatic members of the Baltimore Ravens. First-year Raven, 9 years in the NFL, Chris Canty. Pete, how are you, first of all?
Hey, thanks. That was a nice intro. I was
dapper.
Along with... I was wondering who you were talking about.
Yes, you look dapper too, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Very thoughtful. That is a nice sweater, though. I do like that.
That is.
Where's Chris DeShiel? He's our sweater expert. We ought to get him up here.
Trust me, Chris DeShiel's not wearing the sweaters Chris Canty's wearing. I can promise you that
of
much.
That we are certain.
So before the news, Pete, we were talking about the four NFL head coaches. And we can throw in Al Groh as well, who was an NFL coach, although he coached Chris in college at UVA. Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips, Tom Coughlin, John Harbaugh. A lot of Super Bowl rings there. A lot of impressive head coaches that you've had an opportunity to play for. How does John fit in? This is a guy who has been to the postseason 5 times in 5 years, has a ring. He hasn't just been to the postseason. He's won a game in each of the last 5 postseasons. What makes him special and different?
Well, I think his energy and the way he's able to relate to the players, you know, he's a little bit younger than a lot of the other head coaches that I've played for. So he definitely brings a different energy to the game, to the locker room, to the facility, to his approach. And so I think that's something that excites guys. It excites the new generation of athlete. You know, Pete and I were just discussing that. That's definitely something that I would say that's unique to him.
How is he? I mean, this is the first year, really, where in terms of record, it's an issue. It's a struggle. You get to, you know, 10 games into the season, and to be 4-6. Of course, when you were with the Giants, the roller coaster there of, you know, I mean, Coughlin wins the Super Bowl next year, they want to fire him 4 games in. It was the mentality.
This year.
Right. How has John handled that? This is a new adversity for him. You didn't see it before, but you know what it was like, and talk with the guys. How is he handling it?
I think he's handled it very well. I mean, he's taking a consistent approach, and that's important for a team that's been erratic in our play. You know, he's just making sure that we focus on the fundamentals of football, playing rock solid team football, as he calls it. And, you know, that approach, that mentality that we take into our practices is eventually going to carry over into the execution on Sundays. And hopefully that starts this Sunday.
You guys aren't.
Has to.
Exactly. You guys are 4-6. You have life if you win Sunday. Then you play 4 days later. You can get back to .500 pretty quickly. That's the good news here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tremendous opportunity. It's all right there in front of us. We've just got to take advantage of it. We've got, you know, a couple of ball games coming up, big games against opponents that are right there in the hunt with us. So it's an opportunity to put ourselves in a good position. And so we've got to take advantage of it. Our team has to recognize that this is the moment that we've got to take advantage of, and we can actually build some momentum for the stretch run at the end of the regular season.
You know what's interesting about it, too, and I'm curious from your perspective, how relevant is it? The Steelers are the only team in the NFL this year to have to go on the road Sunday and then be on the road Thursday, 4 days later.
You're not going to hear me crying for those guys.
It's frankly, from what I've seen, an unprecedented screw job against Pittsburgh, who always seems to get the benefit of the doubt from the league.
Yeah.
That aside, how relevant and important is that to have to go on the road Sunday and then turn right around and go on the road on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Does that mean anything, or is that something that, hey, I got 3 hours to fill, I'm going to make a storyline out of it?
Well, I don't want to make light of going on the road. It's hard to go on the road and win a football game in the NFL. It's what it is. It's going to be tough. We've had a lot of early season road games, so we're definitely looking forward to some home cooking next couple months. So, you know, we're excited about the opportunity to have them coming into our place on Thanksgiving night. You know, have an opportunity to make ourselves feel a little better about what they did to us earlier in the season.
Now, are the Canties celebrating Thanksgiving on Friday? I imagine we're winning 2 games in a row here, and then it's a couple of days off, right? That's how it's all laid out in the minds of the 53 Ravens.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is going to be celebrated on Friday. We're going to pick up the tree Friday morning and have Thanksgiving dinner and put up the Christmas tree and all that jazz. I just talked to my fiance, and I let her know what the menu is going to be for next Friday. Let her know what the menu is going to be.
I can tell that you're
Friday.
Not married yet, because that changes. I can assure you.
I'll tell you this much. I'm. I want to, if nothing else, babe, make sure that I get what I want to eat for Thanksgiving. That's all I want. You know, if nothing else, let me at least. I don't get to pick out, you know, the colors in the house. I don't get to pick out any furniture. I don't get to pick out, you know, anything else. At least let me pick out what we're going to have to eat.
Well, every year, once a year, we do a show. Your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal. I don't think we get a bigger response to any show than that, because it's the most incredible meal ever. And there's so many things to choose from, whether it's mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey, gravy, the whole thing mushed together.
My mother's stuffing. God bless.
Don't start.
I can't. We're eating at noon on Thanksgiving Day in Gettysburg. And that's where my folks are. We're going to go there and have noon. The dad's got season tickets. Okay. So then, you know, we're piling in. We're on the air. We get our three-hour pregame show starting at 5. Ready to rock and roll. It's in the wind tunnel in between the stadiums, baby.
Yeah, are you ready for about 30 degrees with a wind chill down to 20 on Sunday? Are you ready for that already?
Oh, that's football weather there. That's football weather.
It doesn't bother these guys.
That's football weather.
Speaking like a true East Coaster, like all of us are here.
Yeah, but you are so soft, Brett, when it comes to weather. You are so soft.
I'm going to dress appropriately on Sunday.
You're going to wear how many Snuggies? That's what I want to know.
I'll be in long johns, and I'll have a couple pairs of socks. That's all I'm divulging at this point. And then, Chris, I do want to get into the charity coming up in a moment, but I do want to talk about the weather going back to the game this past Sunday in Chicago.
Wow.
You are an East Coaster. You've played up and down. You went to high school in Carolina. Was that the most crazy thing you've ever been a part of?
Yeah, I've never been a part of a game where they've had thunderstorms and tornadoes and wind and rain. I mean, it was just unbelievable. The field conditions, it was muddy. I mean, it just reminded you out like something out of the 1960s. You know, I had one beat writer tell me that the game should have been shown in black and white because it was just kind of a throwback type of game. It's just one of those tough games. And that's what makes football special. You have the elements. You have that kind of adversity. Unfortunately, we weren't able to be on the winning side of that deal, but it was a great game to be a part of.
Sam Cook told me a story about that and how really Morgan Cox, the long snapper, made such a critical play and was a bit of a hero at the end of regulation. He saw a mound that had been built up from divots in the line of fire of what would have been his snap for the game-tying field goal for Justin Tucker. And if he hadn't seen it and tapped it down, the snap would have gone right into the mound and shot off. You know, we talk about a bad snap from Geno Gradkowski in that game. It could have been then, right afterwards, a bad snap into a mound that had been built up because the ground was so soft. And if he didn't see that, it really would have gotten ugly.
Yeah, we actually saw that play in the special teams meeting. It was pretty crazy. And then Sam had to make a great catch and get the ball down so Tucky get the ball through the uprights. But that was an unbelievable play. And it's just a game of inches. Everything is just so close. And you just have to execute at such a high level to be successful.
When we come back, we'll talk about the big Chris Canty Foundation event coming up in Baltimore. Don't go anywhere here on Sportsline.